you know, some of the shit that, you know, police call me to the door, raiding the house and all them things. The passion is just so overwhelming that anything that's in your way is not going to stop you from doing what you want to do. The Killer Keller Podcast.
KellerKellerOfficial.com. You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast live in effect. And when I say live, clicking on right here, we are in front of you, behind this awesomeness. And to my left, your right, DWC FKS, the Don, legend in the game, Birmingham stand up. The mighty Zuki.
Oh, I'm humbled.
Get that mic up. Let's see the. This is the first time my guy's been on this thing. Wow. How are you, brother?
I'm good. I'm a little cold, man, but I'm glad that we're getting this thing on.
I know. You know, and I was just as we was about to set it off. By the way, big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk each and every time. We were talking just before we came on. I was like, yeah, it's cold. But we only do this once. And when we do it right. I've got enough people that are checking out this show that need to know about the Zuki Man. We are in some dangerous locations right here. How are you doing, brother? What's been going on? What's been happening?
Not much, really. Just in a lockdown. just grafting and, you know, just doing my thing.
Yeah. I get word. Word on the street is you are like, you're painting every weekend still. Like it was just...
I wish.
Like, really? I'm getting word. People saying, yo, he's still busy, he's still doing stuff.
No, I wish to God I could, but just through commitments, can't always do. Yeah. I like to say once a week.
Yeah.
In the summertime, it's lovely, get out there, drop a nice piece. But in the winter times, you know, staying. This year, so far, I've dropped two pieces.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get a little momentum going for the year ahead.
Yeah.
Keeps you young.
You know, for those of you who don't know about Azuki, like, he's one of the original pioneers, one of the many contributors that created not only this location we're in.
Back in the day, it was down to Nuzo, I think, and Tempo.
Yeah.
They first started dropping pieces all around here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really kicked off. Like a lot of other writers, we all started coming down here as well and just start claiming streets basically one by one. And it goes, it's about a mile square all the way around.
So it's all square and every wall covered,
see,
huh?
We've got a main Stratford Road there.
Yeah.
See that up there in the building?
Yes,
it
goes
on all over there as well.
Wow.
And then into the city centre.
But the idea of graph in the city, the Birmingham style, the look, we need to take it back. We need to go back from source and where it began for you.
Okay, bro. I started graph about 86.
Mm.
85, I was kind of getting turned on to hip-hop.
Yeah.
And just finding my part in the whole thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't break.
Yeah.
I didn't have the clothes.
Yeah.
Didn't have the equipment really to do DJing and stuff like that, which I absolutely love now.
Yeah.
But I was always artistic, so graph was the one for me. So I started properly about 86.
Yeah.
Where I lived in Sparkbrook, they had the writer's bench there, where United Bad Art and All City Art would meet. They were like gods to me back
gods,
then.
Gods, yeah.
Yeah, they're, and still are, man.
Yeah.
The most humblest guys you'll ever meet in your life. It's true style masters.
Yeah.
And then across the road, you had Walford Road and the Waldorf Picture House where the Style Kings used to meet up. And they were like some of my oldest and lifetime friends.
Still to this day?
Still to this day. I mean, Zed's in TWC now. Me and Zed joined TWC at the same time. He proper schooled me. You know, before the time when I met them, I didn't even know what Subway Art was. you know.
That's crazy.
I've seen bits of graph on like Equalizer and stuff like that, and you turned onto stuff like that. But they kind of schooled me on stuff, the do's and don'ts of graph.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, you know, in the best days.
Yeah, without question, yeah.
I mean, we were so young. When I look back in them days, I mean, you must have felt this as well. I mean, with the rise of like hip hop, all of us kids, we felt part of something that was real.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was against graffiti writers.
Yeah.
Nobody really had time for us.
Yeah.
But like, for me personally, and for a lot of us, it was almost like a fight. We're not going to go down. We're going to keep painting.
Mm-hmm.
And today, it's social accepted in a lot of places.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, big time.
Even by the people that, you know, the organisations that were trying to shut it down.
Yeah, man, it's true. We didn't have a tube system in Birmingham. If it did, it would have got battered.
Yeah, I bet.
But we had buses and a lot of subways and shit. There was pieces on the sides of buses. There was tags inside and out. We used to do a thing called surfing, where you'd jack the back.
Yeah.
Hang out the back, get yourself up. Some of the lads, well, yeah, you'd hang out the back on the emergency exit and surf the bus.
Oh,
so then we'd
go over
the flyovers and crazy shit. I mean,
that's some lethal shit, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's insane.
Tape, one of the tape BBB, Born Bad Bombers. We had a party the one time on a bus, and we got sand out of the traffic cones and threw it all over the place, drinking and smoking. Yeah. And tape, bless him, he got out the bus, jacked the back, got out the bus and got up on the top of the bus while it was moving.
What?
Yeah.
What, surfing the top of it?
Yeah, yeah. He was an absolute legend. One of the most up bombers in the place. I mean, back then it was all, for us, it was more about bombing. Mm. Bombing.
More and more and more kind of attitude.
Yes. Daytime, it was like, you know, you get up early, you go and rack up your paint.
Mm.
But then 6:30, you meet up at the writer's bench. Mm. You're going out bombing, but then you're going to get some drink.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this
Party
is a far
time.
Cry from the Zuki lifestyle he has now.
But Birmingham was so on fire. I mean, like on our side of town, south side, you had the bad lads, TBL, yeah. Sneak, Chaos, Side. You know, you had SFX,
uh-huh.
You had Meth and Endeavour, 00 Boys on the other side.
Mm.
I mean, on the back thing where it was mad how Southside was developed, because we were just writers.
Mm.
And for a lot of the taxers back in the day, we were an easy score for them.
Yeah, I bet.
Because we'd go out racking and they'd know exactly who to come to. So we'd get racked up. Sometimes we'd get our things taken off us, and when a big man's coming up to you and taking your things, there's nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do.
You just fear. Sometimes they'll be following us. So what happened? We made a big crew.
Yeah.
It was called Southside Mafia. Yeah. Mm. And Goldie put, you know,
put
Goldie kind of put this, he put it to us. He says, look, man, you know.
You need to protect.
You need to protect yourself, boys. Right, yeah. Get yourselves all together. So we got so united.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
Really?
And
wow.
Then it was a whole different thing. Then you had like East Coast on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Another big crew. Well, it was heavy times. 87 was ballistic.
It sounds like you all kind of galvanised and it suddenly come.
Yeah. With the same taxes and stuff that used to tax us back in the day, they joined Southside.
Really? So
yeah,
it became
yeah.
a unification?
It became then. Massive. It was just too big. And it was funny, I could see at the time, about because after we got raided and stuff, the crew was just massive. We were still bombing and stuff.
Yeah.
But with everyone else coming in, all the earners and stuff, it weren't a graph crew almost anymore.
Mm.
And a few of us saw that, and we kind of just done our own thing.
Really?
So we had like WLS, the Wardlords. That was just a brilliant crew. And about the same time, I joined TWC with Zed and Dez.
Which, I mean, this is when my recollection kicks in, only from an observer and a young one at that, doing my research, going back into archives and shit. The levels in which you've, like, even before then, talking about all of this stuff, this was like honing your craft and developing.
Definitely.
At a time where there wasn't really, you were creating the template.
We all was back in the day, you know, it was just all fun. Yeah. And, you know, like Goldie and Martin Jones bringing Tats Crew over in the early 80s was a massive deal for all the writers in Birmingham.
Yeah.
You know, they became almost like family to us.
Yeah, changed and they the game.
Totally, brother. Totally. And I don't know, it's like, we're part of something here that's real. You know,
it brought the world together.
Yes, man. Hip hop, long live.
Long live hip hop, yes. Man. Come on, you know. He's my favorite podcast because we get into the intrinsics, and I don't know. I'm one of those people that if I'm in something, I want to know what inspires my peers. What was their inspirations? Mm. You know what I mean? And that if you don't have the DNA, then there really isn't a. There's you fall at the hurdle of. Progression,
you definitely got to have the passion.
Yeah,
you definitely got to have that will, like to, you know, create.
Yeah,
you know, I was into athletics in a big way when I was 15, 16, and I was in the TA. I was ready to join the army.
You ready to jump in?
Yeah, man, I was there. I was in the TA from 14 to 16, and then soon as Graf come, that was it.
Changed everything.
Everything.
Was it.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bedroom bummed. Front door bummed. Getting licks off the old man.
Creepy.
Bummed. Yeah, man, he did. He should be bumming up the house.
Did your parents, did they literally fucking, did they not understand? They didn't get it at all?
No. They understood. They always knew I was like a creative, you know.
So they got the mission brief. They knew that this was a new culture.
Yeah, it was never no licks about graffiti. It was, you know, why don't you do something a bit more creative in your life, get a decent job. But this is what I want to do, you know. And you're kind of, okay then, do your thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Particularly for that time when, you know, the world as a whole.
Yeah.
80s becoming this ever-changing, it had such a transformation from like the late 70s across. And I guess this was part of that journey and you got to embrace it.
Yeah, definitely, especially being black as well.
Yeah.
Because the police back in them days was not joking.
Yeah, I know, I appreciate that.
And they
that.
Would rough us all up.
That's right. No, I've heard so many stories of those days. Covent Garden as well.
Terrible.
Terrible. Just fucking profiling Vile. People, getting on them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, we've come a long way, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we've come a long way.
The tagging, because again, like, you know, your style... hello, by the way, if you're not watching, you're listening, we are in a bit of a kind of Birmingham Mecca here. It's a long-standing Hall of Fame and pretty trendy area, if I do say so myself, that was cool, founded man. By yourselves and Temper.
To be fair, you know, you see Digbeth, I think it was, you had Nuzo and Tempo. They first started lighting up this area.
Right, okay.
And then slowly but surely... it's just expanded.
Built.
Yeah, it's really dope. Now you've got like Gents, Pengs, Crutz. Yeah.
Hold tight. Crutz is inside the place. He's over there.
Yes, brother.
Yeah, other guy. Yeah, and these have become like the new,
fathers of graffiti in Birmingham.
But just going back to what I was coming to when I went into this tangent, your style is so identified.
Thank you.
Like, it's mad. Like, you've... and the evolution of that.
Thanks, man. It means a lot, man.
Oh, mate. It blows my mind when you look at... I don't know whether it was your decision or it was something that was just natural in you, but your look, I've never seen it replicated.
It was the music.
Music?
Music is, you know, it's always been hip-hop. In about 89, yeah. no, eight, I think it was 88, 87, 88. Yeah. We got hold of an old DJ run, Hammersmith Arena tape. And that was like first kind of taste of rave culture that we,
hold
we
tight,
got.
DJ run all day.
Big up, man. Enough love and respect, brother.
Pioneer.
And we would make cuts of this tape and, you know, we just...
Till it burnt out and it was all air.
Yeah. I think I still got that tape still. Yeah. And so we kind of moved into drum and bass, going to raves. And the music for me personally had a massive inspired me.
Mm.
So I did actually stop Graph for a couple of years. I did.
No, I get you.
I was still outlining, but I was too busy having a good time with my mates. We was going raving.
Mm.
And I'd always intend to drop a piece.
Yeah.
But I'm going to rave, man.
I'm going to rave.
Yeah.
A couple of things to do, man.
So, but when I did get back on it, and it was through Causa got me back into my Graph again.
Causa. Yeah, man. Causa, another name that just is...
King Dapper Don.
Don. Yeah. Dapper Don.
Much love and respect to you, my brother.
My guy. My guy.
Yeah. He was prolific, man, at that time. About 93, I think. 93.
Beast in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Everywhere. Because then, I think, no one was really doing Graph in Birmingham. It had really...
Mm.
Die down, we was all off raving or getting into relationships and working or whatever.
Settling down and that, yeah.
Exactly. And then you had Colt and Perry, TM, Transit Massacre, they were the only ones smashing the life out of it, and Causa.
Causa has an attitude to his shit that...
Oh, man.
It's bigger
real.
Than the Graph. It's something else, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. He's... What can I say, man? He's inspired me in so many ways. I love him dearly.
Yeah.
You know.
I tell you, actually, while we're on the subject of the rave thing, like, the rave flyers back in the day. Now, when you talk about your style and its influences, I'm not suggesting it's totally direct, but actually, yeah, there's definitely an outside source.
Thank you, man.
Coming in from somewhere that isn't entirely hip-hop. Like, it looks kind of Japanese almost. It's like on some
of
other
that crazy shit I used to do back in 95. After course got me back out painting and T-Bone.
Yeah.
My paintings then was like really influenced by rave culture. So I was doing some crazy shit about that time.
Yeah.
Some real crazy stuff.
The colourways as well, the colours you were using. Yeah. Just the choices of... You know, I get you.
Yeah, the big pieces, man. Right. And sometimes I'll be painting for 8 hours. Sometimes I'll be taking 2 days to do a piece.
Yeah.
I mean, people say to me, "Look, man, why don't you drop some of that stuff again?" I can't be asked.
The time, mate.
I will do though. I will go back if God blesses us. Yeah. I'll, you know, go back and revisit some of them styles.
Yeah.
Definitely, for real. They were great days, man, when I first hooked up with Causa and T-Bone and Krem, early FKS days. And I can't praise FKS highly enough, man, because they just held me in the crew with open arms, you know, and every single one of them was a style master.
They must have been losing their shit that you were in, that, you know, and back on it.
Yeah.
You were back on the grind.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. For real, man.
They must have felt like, yeah, we're on top of the world. We've got...
Felt old. I was only 21. A midlife crisis started.
Get them midlife crises in early. That's what I'm saying. Get them in early,
that's
man.
True. That's true.
Then the rest of your life, you're all right.
That was true.
I tell you what, move a little bit here.
Of course, my man.
I just want to make sure, because we ain't losing this to the ghetto rig. Hold tight.
No. But so... Them times in the early 90s, was backracking.
Really?
Yeah.
Really back in it?
Back in it. Well, I was totally back immersed in it, mate.
And really?
I don't want to name drop too much, but...
We can pick them up later.
Yes, definitely, my man.
But, don't do it.
Everything was there for us, man. We was having the best times at all-nighters, just hitting layups and track size, and just everything was bumming, and it was a very serious thing, man. Really? And, you know, it was just developing. It was all about just trying to keep our shit as tight as possible, man. Mm. You know, moving forward as a unit. And to this day, we still do. Yeah. I mean, we don't see each other as much and as often as we would like to. Yeah. But whenever we do, and we do them, do a piece, bad.
Murder.
Yeah, it's serious. It's good.
Yeah. Do you ever see, because Causa, he's, you know, as an example, he's super fierce and active on it.
Yeah.
Do you ever get those? Because obviously, you know, life happens, shit happens. And
yes.
Measuring it up against what you did in the 80s and, you know, the 90s, and looking at it now and what reality, where reality lies, do you ever feel to yourself, man, does it make you itch? Does it make you, or does it make you think, well, it wasn't like that in the 80s, so I know this feeling I'm going through, and perhaps it was just over time, and I'm not, it doesn't infuse me.
I hear you, brother.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Is that the passion was is just so overwhelming that anything that's in your way is not going to stop you from doing what you want to do. I mean, I have to admit, like, you know, I had to hold back a little bit because, you know, some of the shit that, you know, police coming to the door, raiding the house and all them things, I didn't want that shit to happen again. But when looking back at it now, I've probably done more bombing than in the 90s, because T-Bone and Core and Krem and me, we would go off and do chromas on the road and all kinds of things.
Really?
That kind of thing.
So the 90s
really
got crazy?
Yeah, the 90s was mad.
Wow.
Mad fire. Like, 80s was bombing. We was really, really bombing. We used to do pieces. Sunday was a piece day, and you'd drop dubs here, there and everywhere, always. But until I hooked up with Core and T-Bone and them, we would do roadsides with chromas. That was a whole different thing.
Mad.
But the feeling that it gave you, you're like, yo, let's meet up tomorrow again, and we're doing it again.
Once you pop.
Yeah, it's true, man. You never stop.
Yeah.
Yes, bro, man.
You heard it here first, baby.
It's true. Word up.
Yeah. Doesn't change neither, does it? It's like, from what I understand, it's an infectious...
Graft just keeps going forward.
Yeah.
You know, it just straight ahead.
Does it kind of... That, obviously, being so immersed in the culture for so long, like, and knowing that that doesn't ever change, that must be... You must see a lot of these writers now, and you just, you know exactly what they're going through, and you know exactly where their heads are.
Yeah.
You must feel pretty proud to have been such a huge part of the scene.
Yeah.
And see what's developed.
Yeah. I'm not a real proud person.
Yeah.
Like, I just like to hold things down. But, you know, sometimes I recollect and I think back and I go to myself, like, what's it like for them guys? They've got like, an older figure there, you know, and... It's always good to be courteous and kind to people.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we're all graffiti artists. So you just be straight up and good with each other and keep things positive. And then we'll all just go together. You know
it's interesting. I don't want to stop you too soon on your...
No
problem. Because I agree with you, but I also feel, like, just to add value to where you come from, everyone I've spoken to, from the preparation and coming up to the execution, the conversations I've been having with other people, you're a contender. They don't see any... Like, they talk about... And they don't always do this in London, but there's no generational gap here, and it's actually really interesting you say that, because you're a forerunner. You're up against... You're with the Pengs, Causes, the Cruts. It's almost like you've never stopped. And that's a really interesting dynamic that...
Yeah. Well, you know, I got my mentors, like all the writers from New York. I mean, some of them got 20 years on me. They still painting. And
you don't
having
see nothing different, yeah.
No, it's just it's a beautiful thing, man.
It's great.
You know, people from all walks of life, all different countries. Mm. You don't need to, why stop something that you enjoy doing?
For real.
You know?
Real talk.
Yeah. Listen, if that passion ever left, I'll be the first one to stop.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't going nowhere.
No.
I love that, you know. If I was happy with what I was doing, constantly had everything totally locked off, I probably would have stopped years ago.
You just would have, yeah. And people would have seen it. They would have seen that there wasn't the energy there.
But to be fair, like, to me, I think graffiti is a wild style, is about...
Yeah.
Evolving and pushing it as far as you can go, take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
I mean, you know, graffiti will never stop. It'll never die, man.
It can't.
Exactly.
It can't. I don't know what...
And just to be part of that, just you one in amongst the many is a beautiful feeling.
Mm.
I think it's great what we've all created.
I'm a gasp, like... If you weren't to see anything to do with any other scene in the country,
yeah,
and you were to come straight to Birmingham, yo, people, you know, them aliens that come and discover this place would just be like, oh, that's graffiti.
Yes.
I genuinely believe that.
I agree.
There is no... the style of it, every aspect of graph and street art is right here, and I've...
Thank you,
I've
man.
Never seen it so vibrant. I came here on my first... beatbox gigs so long ago, but you know, this has changed.
Thank you,
man. You've been a huge inspiration to all of this,
the whole of the UK. All of us together. I mean, like, now, like, in my older years, Sarah, my love, my wife,
we
love
Sarah.
To hold tight. Come my on. baby, love you.
There you go.
We like nothing better than just going to places like London, meeting some of our friends, checking out the graph and everything. That, you know, even when we're going to on holiday places, it's always about graph.
Yeah.
We love it, man. We love it.
Yeah.
She's done so much for me, man.
Yeah.
Honest to God, when we got together, like, you know, I wouldn't be standing here with you interviewing if it wasn't for her.
Really?
I owe her so much, man.
Wow.
I love her, man.
That's
love
what
that.
I'm talking about. Yeah, that's the shit.
Yeah, man, for real.
It's good when you find a good woman. Solid, that supports you. I got one, you know?
Yeah.
And
bless.
Yeah, really.
Mm.
Really blessed, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
When you find a girl that that allows you to be yourself.
Yes.
Respects your journey, where you've been, where your potential has been and it can be.
Mm.
You're a force, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. And she's too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add to your podcast before we freeze to death, Suki?
Just it's been an absolute pleasure doing this with you, Killer Man.
Yeah,
man. Hope to do it again
with
you someday. And peace and love out there to everyone.
That's right. This is a legend, legacy holder.
This is a legend.
My man. Legacy holding in here.
What bless up, brother.
Zuki inside the place, Killer Keller podcast, keeping it raw and uncut, all right? We've got the COVID connect here. This is the ghetto rig. We're trying to keep this look. Let me just turn your pan around, right? We got shit going down, baby. You think we're all on this ghetto rig right here. You see what I'm saying?
For real, brother.
For real. Anyway, we're out like that, all right? You stay lucky, people, all right? Television, get the app, Killer Keller podcast, Zuki. Peace.